apologize.
We're going to open our Rules Committee meeting, our Rules Committee. And with that, we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 386A and looking at the Dash 5 amendments. And we'll have our administrator give a short explanation. So we're going to open a work session on 386A.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. Senate Bill 386A establishes the attempt or threat to collect a debt that the collector knows or should know does not exist as an unlawful collection practices. There are other provisions relevant there as well. The A5 amendment deletes the provision prohibiting debt collectors from making false or misleading statements in communicating with a debtor or family of the debtor when collecting or attempting to collect. And it deletes the provision prohibiting taking action or threatening to take action against making a representation to, communicating with, collecting, or attempting to collect a debt from or cause an expense to a debtor that is prohibited under the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act.
Thank you very much. And the Dash 5 amendment?
And the Dash 5 amendment has a zero fiscal and revenue.
Okay. And with that, I think I'm going to take a short pause because I want to take one moment and talk with Representative Nolan for a second. Thank you.
Very good.
Okay. So, with that, Representative Nolan.
Did you want to move the dash fives?
Amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 386 be amended with the dash A5 amendment dated 6-23-09.
Representative Nolan moves the dash five amendments to Senate Bill 386A5. Thank you. To Senate Bill 386A. Any discussion? Any objection? So moved. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 386A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation via the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay.
With subsequent referral.
Subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Representative Nolan moves Senate Bill 386A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've spent quite a good deal of time looking at this bill, studying this bill. I found some of the testimony by the people that I think have frankly been screwed over by unscrupulous debt collectors to be compelling. However, in fixing their situation, I'm not convinced that we're not creating other problems. And so I will give you a courtesy vote to get it out of committee, reserve my right to vote no on down the line.
Thank you very much. Representative Jensen.
Thank you. You wouldn't consider an amendment to the motion, would you? Do you send it without recommendation?
I think we're fine. But thank you.
That's
what I asked. So, any other further discussion? I know. Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll have a roll call vote.
Representative Girard?
No.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
No.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
No.
Vice Chair Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Rowland?
Aye. Motion passes, and we will send it off to Ways and Means. We're going to close the works. Yes.
Once again, I would, Representative Garden, and I would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to vote again on bills that we get the privilege of voting on.
Until you get it right.
We're going to close our work session on Senate Bill 386A. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 597A. This one, no amendment, so might as well have an amendment. Would you like to make that motion?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 597A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Edwards moves Senate Bill 597A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We should have a short explanation actually have a discussion on this bill.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. Senate Bill 597A requires non-governmental entity receiving public purpose funds to include on the entity's board of directors a non-voting ex officio member who is a member of the Public Utility Commission. It requires board members and directors of non-governmental entities that receive public purpose funds to file a statement of economic interest with the PUC. It requires members to declare actual and potential conflicts of interest at regular meetings of the non-governmental entity's board meetings, requires annual independent audits of the entity's financial statements, requires annual filing with the PUC regarding the entity's budget, action plan, quarterly and annual reports, requires audit reports and budget reports be made available for public review, allows Public Utility Commission to remove a member from the board of a non-governmental entity that receives public purpose charges if the board member fails to comply with reporting requirements and conflict disclosure requirements.
People remember the conversation on this bill? Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I do like this bill, and I will support this bill.
So, with that, any further discussion on this bill? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
Representative Girard?
Aye.
Representative Gelson?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Rowland?
Aye. Motion passes. Anybody wish to carry this bill other than me?
I'll
carry it.
Representative Edwards, carry this bill.
I'd be happy to, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so we will close our work session on Senate Bill 597A, and we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 976A, and we'll have a short explanation, and this is a bill that I really do believe we need to hear about, and so I have a lot of invited testimony, and so first we're going to have a short explanation by our administrator.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. Senate Bill 976A requires the Department of Education to grant a 10th grade assessment waiver to eligible school districts during the 2009-11 biennium. It makes a district eligible if the district had an assessment contract with an entity different from that used by the state in 2007 and 8, and the entity met the conditions for administering an assessment test in the most recent year and plans to do so again in the waiver year. It makes a valid waiver for one school year and eligible for renewal. Requires the department to reimburse the waiver districts for assessment costs out of the $550,000 from the state school fund that is otherwise allocated to ESDs. It repeals granting waivers on June 30, 2011, and it takes effect July 1, 2009. Legislation in the 2008 special session granted district waiver authority for 2008-09 without any specific funding.
Do we have a list for testimony? You're still here. Okay.
Yep, I'm back. Thanks. So, those people who would like to testify to this bill, all you have to do is raise your hand, and we'll make you as part of the invited testimony. Thank you. So I will start with Ozzy Rose, who is invited by me tonight right now to come up and give me a short explanation.
Representative
Maurer. Yes. And Representative Maurer, you want to come up at the same time? Thank you. I just wanted to make sure you wasn't sitting with somebody. And we'll defer to Representative Maurer.
All right. Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Representative Ron Maurer, House District 3. I would urge support of Senate Bill 976. I have a school district in my area. I have two districts. One would be very happy to see the waiver, and from a pragmatic standpoint, the issues about whether or not this is nationally normed, which the bill requires it to be nationally normed, as somebody with a doctorate in education, it's very important that we evaluate people on a common standard, and there are thousands of schools and districts across this country, and so it doesn't mean you have to have the same test, but it should be nationally normed. And our school district has 3 or 4 years of data that they would like to continue on this path. Of course, there's a sunset, and I think that's fine, but we need to have, I believe, an option at least for the next couple years. So I would just urge your support of this bill, and maybe we'll have a conversation next session. In fact, we will have a conversation, I'm assuming, about this topic. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Ozzy Rose, and I represent districts who would benefit from this proposal. Most of you heard a lot of these details, so my testimony, a very short testimony I'm going to share with you, and then attached to it is a letter from the State Board and a more detailed explanation of this issue. Bottom line, I ran up the stairs, excuse me. Bottom line is the bill 976 extends the exemption option that was made available for this year through the next 2 years if the test and the alternative test meets the criteria, and it does. It also provides that districts using the test will be eligible to seek reimbursement for the cost of that alternative test. Share with you how currently it's funded by an appropriation where they set aside $550,000 from the ESD appropriation for the purpose of paying for this test. The state has contracted with an entity, and about 58% of the kids this past year were tested by the contracted test, and the state used that part of that $550,000, about $350,000 of it, to pay that contractor. Those districts who continue to use this test, the alternative test, and sought the exemption had to pay for the test themselves. And what the bill does is say they would be reimbursed out of that same pot of money that exists up to the price, not to exceed the price of the contracted test. In fact, the alternative test is about $2 or $2.50 less per pupil cost than is the contracted test. So they wouldn't be able to get this. They'd only get what they spent on it. There's some discussion about this would cost the state money. It will not. The money's been set aside. And in fact, if this bill is not passed, those kids who have been in the alternative test districts this past year would be eligible for and encouraged to take the other test, which is more expensive. And so this would not cost money. It would probably save money. The districts that are doing this have been involved for 2 to 5 years. They have done a lot of work in training staff to use this testing. They have worked with parents on what the value, what the information is, and they counsel kids. They have databases built, and I encourage you to extend the extension another 2 years. And with that, I'll answer questions.
Any questions of these two? Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ozzie, if you say that the kids that use the alternative test have them or their families have to pay for it themselves. Is that what I heard?
Mr. Chair, no. The districts are paying for it.
Oh, the districts are paying for
the
it.
Issue, so. The bill you passed in 07 just said districts ought to be doing this, and the state needs to contract for a test to do it. A number of the districts, 13 to be precise, were already doing it before the state got involved. And so in the 08 session, we got an exemption for 1 year for those districts. 9 of them have chosen to continue it. The others didn't because it wasn't paid for. And all this bill is allow those 9, one, they had to be eligible, 708, two, they had to do it this year. And by the way, it's about 8,000 kids that would be affected.
Follow-up question?
Yes. I'm presuming if they're willing to pay for it themselves, then there's some sort of real perceived value on those districts' part if they're willing to pay for themselves out of the, instead of being reimbursed out of this, out of the fund for the testing. Could you touch on that?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. They were doing this before the bill passed and paying for it. They did it this year and paid for it, and I suspect most of them would continue doing it and paying for it. The issue for them is they pay for it, and the ESD money comes off the top, and they lose their portion of the ESD money. And for most of the districts, they lost to their ESD, and their portion of that is about the same as paying for the test. So they're essentially paying for their test twice.
One follow-up.
Yep.
So, what is the value to these districts? Why do they insist when all the other districts aren't? Why do these districts? I don't know that much about this test versus that test, so I'm looking for some sort of justification of why some folks want to do it differently.
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, the two different tests that are in play, the ACT is essentially an achievement test, and it tests kids. They have a program. This is, by the way, the 10th grade version of ACT. It's called PLAN, and they have a test at the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. And the ACT test has a science component, and it has a built-in work experience component. The other test does not have a science component. It also has the work experience part of it is done on a computer separate from the test. This is if you go just to educators, it's a better overall test for doing all the things. It does more than just tell you whether you're ready for college.
That's the type of information I was looking for.
Okay, if I may add, and that the school districts that chose to do this prior to the state contracting, want to continue using it because they have a database of assessment over a period of time. And so if they switch to the other test, now there's no linear ability or longitudinal ability to assess how they're doing as a district and for the kids. So for them, we started before the requirement. Now you're saying switch the test, and for those districts that are using ACT, they're saying, you know, allow us to continue because it is a nationally normed test. And in fact, it does test a couple different things. But again, it's back to why are we having an assessment? It's only valid over a period of time.
Representative Harker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Chris Harker, representing people of House District 34, which does include much of the Beaverton School District. And Beaverton is one of the larger districts impacted by this issue, and I obviously just walked into the room having driven down from there. Thank you very much. And do not know exactly what has been said before by these two gentlemen, but I back them up, I'm sure. And one of the issues, just a slight personal story that's related is that when my son was applying for college, we were looking at the relative effectiveness of SATs and ACTs as predictors of college success, and it was clear that while neither one of them was a rock-solid, dependable assessment, the ACT was slightly better in a couple of analyses than the SAT was. So it's particularly difficult for me and the people in my district to feel very comfortable about giving up the current arrangements. Are there any numbers or any things that you feel have not been put out there already, gentlemen?
Your particular district, Ms. Representative, I mentioned to you earlier that the districts are paying twice. Beaverton last year paid $26,000 for the test. They lost around $20,000 in ESD services.
I feel like at a time like this, it's really difficult to impose additional costs on anyone when we're hacking at their budgets and trying like mad to finalize their budgets with something that's sustainable. So,
Representative Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any one of the gentlemen can answer this, but I'm noticing a heavy nay vote in the Senate on this bill, and I'm curious as to what the issue was, why there were so many no's.
I'll be the first to admit that I don't know exactly what went on the Senate side and was not present at the vote. So, Ozzie, were you over there?
I was there. There are folks that argue against this, primarily the vendor for the state contracted test. Bottom line is, it got 17 votes, and it's over here.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Gelser.
Thank
you. We heard a similar bill with a different number on it in the House Education Committee. The only testimony that we received in opposition to this bill was from the vendor of the other program. There was no one that came and opposed the bill on the basis of what was good for kids, what was good for school districts. It seems simply to be a vendor versus vendor wanting to have a claim on a contract. That was my assessment of our hearing.
Can I ask Representative Gelser a question?
Yes, you may get Representative Edwards.
Do I get to yield?
Well, so you heard the bill, but you didn't move the bill, or I mean, you just decided what?
We heard the bill.
Go to the Senate first.
Yeah, we had a lot of big things in the Ed Committee. You may have heard some of them on the floor.
Yeah.
We were kind of distracted.
Yeah. Okay.
Representative.
A comment to that. I mean, I think there's some rationale for standardization, and we all like standardization. But I think the issue is, and I'm a supporter of nationally normed tests, because how do you compare Oregon to any other state? And the way to do it is through national norm tests, which means you're basing your evaluation on thousands of other students across the country. And at some point we say there's some local control here. But I think that was the primary argument.
Representative Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, gentlemen, I'm assuming then you're not here taking a position on the vendor that was selected. You're here representing the school districts, simply trying to exempt them from having to do it again. Am I correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Guard, that is certainly my position.
Okay. Same here.
Same here, and I would like to add one thing. The issue about conformity and so forth is an important issue, but the bill that's passed 2007 didn't say that all 10th graders have to take the test. It said the district needed to make available to all 10th graders a test, and 25% of the kids didn't take any test. The ACT people, or districts using the ACT product, tested all their kids and started doing it before this law was put in effect. And all we're trying to argue is, in fact, this, one of the reasons state board says, let's leave it this way, and we have an experiment going on, and we can watch the results within our own state. And that's all we're arguing for, is the handful of districts that were in the business before, have a very good product, use it very well, be able to continue doing it.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
And our next panel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Matt Marquis representing the College Board today. Just to start with, on Representative Garrard's comments about the no votes, there were several no votes, and it really deals with a contracting issue and what the state has already issued for a contract. And I do want to just point out to you, if it doesn't show on your sheet, that I don't know what you have in front of you, but 2 weeks prior to that, the bill failed on the floor with only 13 votes. So it was a pretty controversial issue in the Senate. You heard a lot about the different aspects of the two tests as far as what the ACT can do or what the PSAT may or may not be able to do. What I can tell you is that all of those things were brought up through the RFP process, and one person was chosen. Now, in 07, the legislature passed legislation that required the Department of Ed to issue an RFP to award a contract to one company to offer a test to any 10th grade student in the state of Oregon that wants it, like the 10th public schools. The RFP was put out to bid in January of last year. We came into special session in February. The RFP had not been awarded yet. ACT came in with a bill because they had several districts that were using their product, and they were worried if they lost, what would happen to those districts. The College Board had several districts using their products exclusively as well. We, at the time when we looked at this waiver bill during the special session, were opposed to it. During several work group meetings with Mr. Chair, Representative Comp, who I wish could be here today to express her views on the bill, we negotiated out a one-year waiver and a one-year only waiver, and that's what was negotiated during the special session. After the special session adjourned, the RFP was awarded. It was a close bid, I believe, but the College Board was successful in winning for the PSAT to offer that to all 10th grade students. I think it's important to point out that no district is prohibited from continuing to do what they do, and these ACT districts that have been doing this for 2 to the last 5 years, I think is what you just heard, can still continuing to do. But yes, they do have to pay for it, but they paid for it prior to this as well. If the state went out for this RFP at the request of this legislative body and contracted with somebody which they felt for whatever reason was a winner in that RFP process, I don't see why you wouldn't give the opportunity to those students to take the PSAT almost and get it paid for. Almost every district, probably every district in the state already offers the PSAT. This is now about whether or not a student's going to have to pay for it or not. We feel the bill is unfair because what it essentially does is you have a pot of money out there that was set aside for the winner of this RFP. And as you heard, it was $550,000. Now what we're doing is we're taking money out of that pool and we're awarding it to the loser of an RFP. It seems a little unfair to us. When we went through this process, we were awarded a contract. Our contract says we're going to offer this to any student in the 10th grade that wants it, and now you're going to take 20% of the mix, or 20% of that population out of the mix. That's why we opposed the bill in the House that didn't move out of committee. That's why we opposed this bill in the Senate in its original form and in its amended form. If there was a chance to amend it today, we would certainly like that opportunity, but we are opposed to the bill in the current form. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
No questions. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the RFP is with the Department of Education for all the districts, not with each individual.
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, the way that 07 legislation was drafted, it required the Department of Ed to issue a contract through an RFP process that all school districts would then use in a statewide pool, essentially.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this and be invited testimony today? I see no one else. So we are in a work session. Representative Berger, you want to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 976 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Berger moves Senate Bill 976 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Yes, thank you.
And further discussion, Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll give it a courtesy vote to get out of committee because time is short, and I'm a little bit as I look at the list of bill sponsors. There's a little bit of an inconsistency between the sponsors of the bill and how they voted on the floor. And one of them used to be the chair of the Education Committee in the Senate and also happens to be my senator. So I'm interested in touching bases with her and getting her perspective on this, and certainly reserve my right to change my support for this bill as I learn more. But certainly feel conflicted between standardization and grandfathering in districts that are doing their own thing and it's working well for, and I've certainly advocated for my own district to be grandfathered into a couple of policies, statewide policies, I just didn't think made sense for them. So we'll support it at this time. But
any further discussion? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little concerned that the proponents of the bill, when I thought were fairly directly asked a question that might have indicated, might have been probing for where the opposition was to it, slid around that without addressing it. One of the things I've always looked for when people are advocating or lobbying, for something, is to ask the question, what's the other side saying? That kind of concerns me with it, to respond as the responses were or lack thereof were. In light of what I'm now hearing about what happened in the Senate, there obviously was a considerable amount of discussion in the Senate over it, and there apparently has been a considerable amount of discussion in previous sessions, with this. And I'm also concerned about the fact that we go out, with an RFP with, that's making some kind of basic assumptions, and then we come along in the next legislative session and say, whoops, we're going to change the name of the game a little bit here. That bothers me a whole bunch. In light of this, I've looked at ACT test scores. I've looked at PSATs when I was, and I know I understand this is 100 years ago, but when I was teaching in college and advising students coming through, I understand with any method of testing, you win some, you lose some, and some get rained out as far as the test scores are concerned. There's variables that test scores don't necessarily deal with. So there is no perfect world out there in testing as far as I'm concerned. At least I didn't hear anybody here today claiming that they were 99.9% certain that you were going to be able to graduate, that you'd graduate from college if you did such and such on their test. So having no perfect sort of thing, I'd prefer to stay with the original intention, and if and when a new RFP comes out or is due to come out for this, the folks can compete again, if you wish, for that. I don't see anybody necessarily being discriminated against, on this. If a school district wants to do this, I think as a super school board, we have an obligation maybe to provide one source of funding for testing. I don't know that we're obligated to provide multiple sorts of testing, across the state. And I do have a problem with too many tests. And I'm going on quite a ways on this. I haven't said much in this committee all.
That's right. Making up for it today.
I'm doing my very best, Representative, to make up for it. All session. I will terminate with that. If you haven't concluded by now that I'll probably be a no vote on this bill, why let me make that announcement for us so that we're clear and nobody's going to be surprised with it.
Okay, and any further discussion except for mine? I do want to say that I will be a courtesy yes. I reserve the right at future time to when it gets to the floor. I have some of the same concerns. We did set up a process in the state. We went through that process. I think it frustrates me. On the other hand, I do understand how districts organize themselves, get a pattern of information about a consistent test, which helps them understand their kids better, and I appreciate that a lot, and understand that's why these districts really would like to keep it that way, because they have years of evidence with regard to this test, which helps them help their kids progress. I'm hopeful that eventually we will solve this problem. I wish that when I was in the education a few years ago, we had done an RFP that would allow them both to have kept and picked another one. We didn't do that at the time, and for that we come back to these things over and over again. And so I would hope that as we go forward and we decide that this is important, and I do believe it is important to have a standardized test like this for kids to take. So with that, we'll take a roll call. I'll speak just a little bit longer. I think we're okay with respect to Nolan. Oh, and I do want to say that this is Senate Bill 976A. I don't think we meant that to make it clear, but I just want to make sure it's the A version of 976 that we will be voting on at this time.
Representative Girard?
No.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
No.
Representative Nolan?
Excused.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Roland?
Aye. Motion passes. We are going to, I'll let Representative Harker, would you like to carry this bill? Representative Harker will carry. We'll close our work session on 976A, and we will close our public hearing. We won't. We'll take a recess. We'll take a recess for the Rules Committee. So we are on recess.